In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When our Lenten pilgrimage is over, many of us will hear these words. What have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people. These are the words used in the final reproaches of our Good Friday liturgy. They are from the fifth chapter of Isaiah, in which God compares his relationship with his people as one who had planted a choice vineyard on fertile soil with only the best vines to produce good grapes. But Isaiah recounts, he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. For the vineyard, Isaiah goes on to say, is the house of Israel and the men of Judah his delightful plant. He looked for justice, but behold, a cry of distress. The contours of our parable in Mark chapter 12 are shaped by these words of Isaiah. What strikes us as odd, or at least it should, is that the very ones Christ is implicating in his pending death understood that the parable is directed against them. Heretofore, especially in Mark's gospel, everyone, and including the 12, are having a hard time understanding the parables. In Mark 4, we are told that Jesus speaks in parables to confound the obduracy of those on the outside, so that having eyes, they should not see, and having ears, they should not hear nor comprehend. Parables, I wish to suggest to you, have a sacramental type quality about them. They are not self-evident short stories, but require the catechist, the rabbi, Jesus, to explain what they mean. And just like the sacraments, they are not self-evident, but require the Holy Spirit enlightenment to understand precisely what is meant. In the parable, God, of course, is the landowner, who had tenants who worked the land, or in this case, the vineyard. It was not uncommon at the time of Christ, especially in Galilee, for such landowners, absentee ones that is, to engage tenant farmers to work the vines. The landowner would send his representatives to receive the fruit which belonged to him. But in our parable, the tenants were unwilling to do this. The first representative is beaten and sent away empty-handed. The second one, Mark records, is hit in the head, presumably with a stone, and treated shamefully. The third is killed, and others are sent as in waves, and they beat some, and others they kill. These representatives are the Old Testament prophets, who in the course of time were persecuted, maligned, beaten, rejected, and put to death Listen to these words of Nehemiah. But they became disobedient and rebelled against you and killed your prophets who had admonished them. This was Israel's history, the history of the kingdom up to and including John the Baptist. But in all of this, God was patient. He loved the vineyard he planted. And so he sent his son, his beloved son, the very echo of his baptism and transfiguration. He sent his son. They will respect him. But when they saw it, in their madness, they said, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. And now, all of a sudden, as these words flow from Jesus' lips, they are living history. They are about to happen as he, the Son, has come, and in a few days he will be seized, he will be led out of the city, he will be killed and crucified. It is a story of injustice and unrighteousness, of violence and greed, of power and usurpation. What went wrong? Why did the vineyard not yield good grapes and only bad? I would like to suggest to you that one reason this happened and still happens today is exactly the misperception of those in the vineyard. The tenants who worked the land forgot that the vineyard is the landowner's, not theirs. He planted it. He hedged it. He built a tower. They were stewards. Stewards, the very word St. Paul uses of us and you, who one day will be ordained into the office of the holy ministry, stewards of the mysteries of God. In the kingdom, God must have his way. The kingdom is never about how can I have it my way? How can I do or hear or believe the things that I want to or like? It is about fidelity to the landowner God. This parable, Jesus aimed at the Pharisees and high priests who, so to speak, were in control and responsible, who had their way all right, even to having the son handed over to be killed. But God vindicated his son. The very stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We will hear these words on Easter. It is amazing in our eyes because the very one rejected and abused and killed, the very one God has raised from the dead, the chief cornerstone which God lays in his Zion, his holy church. He who was rejected is now by us confessed as Lord and Savior, whose name is above every name, and at whose name every knee bows in subjection to him. And so the kingdom is given by God, the landowner, to a new nation. A new vineyard is planted, his holy church. In my study, I have on my wall an icon from the Romanian Orthodox Church. It is entitled Christ the Vine. On it, Jesus is sitting on the tomb altar. His body is white. He has died and risen from the dead. Behind him is the cross which killed him. And out of his pierced side, a vine is growing. It encircles the cross and leads over to his hands, where the fruit of which he is squeezing into the chalice. The good fruit of the kingdom he has planted. The fruit of everlasting life and salvation, which even now is given to us this morning. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.